Well, the Royal Society goes right back to 1660 when it was founded in London. And the thing about the Tasmanian branch, which was formed in 1843, was it was the first branch of the Royal Society outside of the UK. A lot of branches formed since then, but Tasmania was the first. And it's it was developed in the era when there was a lot of interest in new discoveries in science itself. There were some of the greatest discoveries, of course, were made in the 17 and 1800s. And this, I think, was the stimulus that these people came together. And some very, very famous people have been members and presidents of the Royal Society in London. And here in Tasmania, it was Franklin, the Sir John Franklin, who was the stimulus to start it here, and the it was taken on by Eardley Wilmot. The I think he went on to be he was the Lieutenant Governor rather to form a branch in Hobart, and then of course later on we formed one in Launceston.
I was certainly going to ask who was instrumental in bringing a Royal Society to, well, was it Van Diemen's Land still under Sir John Franklin?
Yes, Jane, it was. It was actually known as the Royal Society of Tasmania of Van Diemen's Land for Horticulture, Botany and the Advancement of Science. And it was only until actually under the current relevant Act of Parliament, which was passed in much later on in 1911, when the name of the society was shortened to what we now know as the Royal Society of Tasmania. And of course, here in Launceston, the society formed its the Launceston branch actually in 1853.
The royal part of it, Jane, isn't got anything to do with monarchy or anything like that. It became the Royal Society because Queen Victoria accepted the role of patron the year that it was the year after it was established.
I thank you for explaining that sort of lineage, if you like. But the aim of the Royal Society, you just described, Jonathan, the reference to historic horticultural botany and the advancement of science. Has that been consistent throughout the history of the Royal Society, or is it starting to deviate in its aims?
No, certainly. Look, Jane, the Royal Society of Tasmania's mission is really the advancement of knowledge, and it has a number of priorities. So ultimately, the objectives include promoting Tasmanian historical, scientific and technological knowledge for the benefit of Tasmanians, fostering Tasmanian public engagement and participation in the quest for objective knowledge, and of course, recognising excellence in academia and supporting Tasmanian academic excellence. And lastly, the objective of the Society is also to provide objective advice for policy relating to Tasmanian issues. So the Society's role continues to adapt and to support, I think, really ultimately the interests of all Tasmanians.
What are some kind of key activities where the everyday Tasmanian can actually access what the Royal Society promotes?
Well, first of all, it's open to anybody, and the range of topics that we have lectures on and symposiums and books, what have you, is huge. I would be amazed if people couldn't find something of interest. I know I find something of interest with all of the talks. I learn something every time. But it is a very general program. It doesn't hone down specifically on things Tasmanian, but also, of course, when we have the opportunity to have people who are expert in a particular scientific field in Tasmania, then we're very grateful if we can get them to come along as guest speakers.
You mentioned that it's open to anybody. If someone was listening and thinking, well, I've always been a bit curious about what they did, it's not a secret society, as you say. Is there a membership fee, or can you subscribe in some way? How do you become more intimately involved with the Royal Society?
Well, in order to become involved as a member, we encourage firstly, for members of the public to attend the lectures that we have on offer. And
These lectures are open to the public. You don't have to be a member of the Royal Society to attend any of our lectures. They're held on a Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the month, right throughout the year except for Christmas. So, there's a small cost.
It's for members of the general public. It's $6, and for QVMag friends, it's $4, and of course, it's free for members who are already members of the Royal Society of Tasmania. And here in the north, actually in August, on Sunday the 26th of August at 1:15, we're having Associate Professor Jonathan Binns, who's a lecturer at the Australian Maritime College at the Newnham campus, based with the University of Tasmania, and he will be presenting as part of the National Science Week for the 2018 program. His question is, why does an engineer need a PhD? And of course, we're going to be having that lecture at the meeting room at the Queen Victoria Museum and Art Gallery at Inveresk here in Launceston.
And that's, as you say, that's part of Science Week at that point. And yes, and nice to see, obviously, I presume, a local academic to Launceston.
Yes, indeed.
Sort of expanding on that theme. There's also a strong emphasis on student reports on science festivals, I'm noticing, looking at your Launceston lecture series. How do students engage with the Royal Society?
We give them the opportunity to present the material that they're studying, and also we provide bursaries for them to enable them to attend symposia outside of Tasmania, on the mainland or indeed overseas. And we're very, very keen that young academics or young people, full stop, will take an interest in science and will come along. Cost for them is not very great to come and attend the lectures. We've got, at the moment, our two bursary recipients, Dominic Gross and Rose Donnelly. They will be attending the Science Festival and having their bursaries presented to them then. So, and of course, Jonathan, being a student at our university campus, does a good deal to promote the society there, which is great.
So, Jonathan, what are you studying at the UTAS campus?
Currently, I'm studying for an undergraduate degree, a Bachelor of Arts, in majoring in physical geography and a minor in British English literature, broadly speaking.
Very keen to hear just your history and connection to Tasmania, because you may well think that you're a Launceston-born and bred lad, but that's not the case. Can you expand on that?
Certainly, Jane. My background, I'm actually Romanian-born, but I'm also, as of 2001, I became a fully-fledged Australian citizen. And it was really, for me, 2001 became the turning point for a brand new life as a non-native English speaker. And being able to be involved, I think, within the broader community through things like being a member of the Royal Society of Tasmania and indeed Rostrum Tasmania as an active member through them, it's a wonderful opportunity to really celebrate, I think, with everyone, regardless of their background or culture, the wonderful privilege that we have living in such a wonderful place like Tasmania and indeed Australia, and the wonderful opportunities that we actually have available to everyone.
Well, I must say, Jonathan, if you're not careful, you're going to be tapped on the shoulder to potentially present a lecture as part of the Launceston Lecture Series of the Royal Society of Tasmania. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Medill?
Yes, I would, and he'd do a very, very good job indeed.
Well, finally to you both, what was the inspiration for your deeper involvement with the Royal Society? Because I sense for you both, you have really invested of yourselves within the Royal Society and expanding its reach into the north. So perhaps could I start with you, Frank Medill? What was it that made you really embrace the objectives of the Royal Society?
Well, obviously, I've got a scientific background in that I had I've had 50 odd years in medical practice. I was so attracted to the whole concept of providing information to the public on a wide range of scientific matters. I'd always been interested in the history side of things, but there's that much happening in our world. We're getting so much on the media on new discoveries and talking about old discoveries. Having authoritative speakers, good speakers, come and tell us what their particular specialty or particular area of expertise is and what's happening in it, I found that to be absolutely fascinating, and so I was very pleased to have the opportunity to accept the presidency, and I'm now the immediate past president. I think it's a marvellous opportunity for anyone. We've had a wonderful range of speakers, and I've obviously been keen on the medical side of it, but and I wouldn't like to single out any one better than the other, except to say that, for instance, at the beginning of this year, we had Professor Dominic Gerichty talking to us about cannabis, and that's very topical, very controversial. He gave a brilliant exposition on cannabis. I think everybody that was there, and the room was packed, came away with a much clearer picture of what really are the issues and what really are the problems with cannabis. So it's that sort of thing that it's very easy to be stimulated.
And all that for $6.
Well, yeah, that's right. If you're a member, it's free. Membership, depending on whether you want papers or not, membership's $55 a year if you don't want to get the proceedings in papers. And for students, $20. So it's very modest. And, of course, members don't pay. It's only non-members. And we'd love to have lots of non-members come to our lectures.
Well, Jonathan, what inspired you? You've clearly got a sort of a deep attachment to the state, and you recognise the privilege that we all enjoy living here. But what was it about the Royal Society of Tasmania that really inspired you?
I think ultimately it was my connection with my late grandfather, Dr. John Morris, who was very much a champion of not only of actually caring for people on a very personal level, not simply because he was a doctor by his profession, but also because he always enabled to bring about this passion and love of learning and of encouraging anyone and everyone to really engage on a much deeper level with, you know, with our surroundings and with, you know, any kind of knowledge. And so for me, you know, my grandfather was indeed a real mentor, I would say, for my current involvement, you know, being involved with the Royal Society. And of course, my father is equally involved with the Launceston branch of the Royal Society of Tasmania. And so it's really, I suppose, a family connection that's actually been at the heart of my involvement with the Royal Society of Tasmania. And I'm very grateful to my family for that, but also to other members within the Royal Society here at the Launceston branch, because they have been tremendous in their efforts, in their dedication, and in their zest for being able to share that love of not only the advancement of knowledge, but their own love of learning and of sharing together that same joy of, you know, meeting and being able to share and discuss and celebrate, I think, one of the joys of life.